You can, you know, no one can tell the difference. So you have this double playing the part, and we're all sitting there and we're watching and we don't know any different. Now, a few years ago, a very popular movie star used a double for a scene in one of her movies. The scene for which she used a double involved neither danger nor difficulty. Her role was required to clean a toilet. She did not want to do that, so she requested and received a double to do that. Now, I suppose in the world of Hollywood, maybe that's not all bad. I can imagine here's this person who's never been really anyone in the movie world, suddenly can, when this movie comes out, can invite her friends over, and when it comes to the part of that toilet cleaning scene, can go, hey, that's me, and be all excited about it and have some bragging rights. But when you think about it, Hollywood is really so different from the way of Jesus, as we see in our text today. So here are some things that I notice. Number one, Jesus humbles himself and ministers as a servant. Foot washing then may have been a lowlier task than toilet cleaning today. Like, if you have to clean the bathrooms, well, it's not the most desirable of household tasks, but it's just you in the bathroom. There you are. You probably have your rubber gloves on and your brush and the whole bit, and it's really not that big a deal. But to wash another's feet, you know, it's to get down beneath them and to, it's smelly, it's dirty, but it's even more the status of the whole thing. It's that you're lowlier than they are. That's servant work. And so if you're going to do that menial task, it meant really that you're a nobody. You're willing to be nothing, to put the other's needs first. So on this occasion, the disciples, they gathered for a meal. No servant was available. They'd probably been walking through the day, and as they settled in for the evening, not one of the 12 volunteered to do that for all the rest of them. They're probably all feeling a little uncomfortable, all knowing how foot washing had felt on other occasions. They're probably all sitting there thinking, oh, I wish someone would humble themselves, be willing to take the role of a servant and care for the rest of us. But no one did, so they just all sat there. And then at one point, Jesus got up, he put some water in the basin, he grabbed a towel, and he started the process of washing his disciples' feet. Now, I thought of asking for a volunteer here, and after Ben told this story, I was wondering, did you washed your feet since this morning? I guess I don't need to wash his feet, but, pardon? Well, Laurel did it, okay. Well, good on her. We should. Okay, she didn't do it either. But so you have these disciples, it probably wasn't in a bench quite like this, but they're there, you put some water in the basin, you get down beneath the person, and there they are, and you'd put a towel around it, but you'd wash, probably massaging the feet, getting all the dirt and the dust off until they felt really good, because it'd probably be nice water, warm water, and then you'd dry them gently, and in that way you would really serve the person. You'd put their needs ahead of your own. And so Jesus does that. Now I imagine as Jesus started around the group, the disciples are all thinking, yeah, this isn't right. He should not be the one washing our feet, because they all looked up to him. But no one wanted to say, well, you shouldn't do it, because if you're the one to say, well, you shouldn't do it, then, well, who should do it, right? Yeah, moi. And they didn't want to do it either. And so, Jesus probably went to the first person and the second. We're not told how many. But he comes to Peter. Peter's just, no way, not happening. You're not going to wash my feet. This just isn't right. I look up to you, Jesus. You're the master. You're our Lord. I'm not going to have you wash my feet. But Jesus, he insists on doing that, and it's just because he cared. He performed the lowliest task, the lowliest service for his friends. Because he's not thinking, well, I'm better than you. He just, all he sees is their need. They're uncomfortable. They could benefit from this. And I love these guys. And so I get down before them. Jesus gets down before them, and he does this lowly service for his friends. Jesus humbly served his disciples. That's our Lord. He humbly wants to serve you. I believe that. The fact is, Jesus loves you as he loved the 12. Jesus is not a distant God, far removed. He's not aloof. He is good, and his goodness is revealed in practical ways. He touches you when you are discouraged or lonely. He cares for you when you're tired and dirty. Now, I realize that Jesus is not physically present, not in the way he was with his disciples, but I am sure he cares for you and me today. And in various ways, he comes alongside and ministers to our needs. And we must allow him to. I think there's a tendency sometimes to say, well, I'll do it myself. And sometimes we need to just let God in and care for us. We must give in just as Peter did. We must yield ourselves to the Master's service because he is here to serve. Secondly, Jesus cleanses of sin. When Peter realized he would have no part of Jesus if his feet were not cleaned or washed, well, then he wanted Jesus to wash his hands and his head. Like, he wanted all of Jesus. And the desire was good, but Jesus points out that the action is not necessary. Jesus explained that having all of him does not come from physical washing. What is needed is spiritual cleansing. And such cleansing won't come from further, you know, outward washing. Spiritually, Peter was clean. That is, he was right with the Lord. Listen to verses 10 and 11. I'm going to read it in the Message this time. Jesus said, if you've had a bath in the morning, you only need your feet washed now, and you're clean from head to toe. My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. So now you're clean, but not every one of you. He knew who was betraying him. That's why he said, not every one of you. I mean, if you think of it, Judas, physically, he wasn't any more dirty than all of the other guys. Yet Jesus says the 11 are clean and he is not. So why the difference? Followers of Jesus, they're overall clean. They don't need the whole bath over again. They will need their feet washed regularly. Now, this may sound like a strange teaching, but I believe Jesus is saying that, you know, if you've received salvation in Christ, for us, if we've received salvation in Christ, you don't need to do that again. Like, you've got Jesus in your life, you've received eternal life, you're born from above, your sins are forgiven, it's good. However, you've not fully overcome sin. You know, you've settled the issue of your relationship with Jesus. But as you go through the day, you get dirty. I do. I think most of you do. You do things that are wrong. Maybe you yell at someone. Or the kids don't cooperate and you're short with them. Or you know, there's just various things that we do on a regular basis. And so you, like me, we need cleansing and forgiveness. You need your spiritual feet washed. Jesus comes to wash your feet again and again. He's in you, but after walking through the dust a while, you need to be cleansed again. And Jesus does that. Your salvation's not in question. But you may sin today. And for that, you need a little washing. cleansing, forgiveness, restoring the relationship with God and with others. You must let him. If you resist, as Peter did at first, the dust of sin will cover your soul. You'll be dirty, uncomfortable, even miserable. So I'd say, let Jesus wash you. At the end of each day, sit with Jesus and receive his cleansing. Go through and invite him to speak into your life, to show you where you maybe missed it. And to have him touch you and make you clean and you're good. The third thing we see is that we're to follow Jesus' example. After performing this service for the 12, Jesus passed the foot washing mandate on to them and to us. So we too are here to take the basin and the towel, put some water in it, wash others' feet. We really have two models. We have the Hollywood, we might say the world, you know, in it for myself, this is what I want. And we have Jesus. And I trust we will follow Jesus in both humbly serving others and in spiritual cleansing. To be a Christian is, it means you follow Jesus. You do what he did. Now, we don't literally do all of the same things. You don't wash your guests' feet when they come to your house because, well, they're not dirty, so that's okay. I think there are many ways to serve others. Do not think you are above doing menial tasks. Don't wait for others to serve you. Take the initiative. Grab the towel. Serve. Consider others' needs before your own. It's the way of Jesus. And it's the way of Jesus' followers. When I was in my early 20s, I spent a few summers at Bible camp. Love camping, love kids, you know, great fun, be outdoors. You know, have the campfire and share Jesus in those contexts. One year I was the program director, and so I ran all the program, organized all the activities and things like that. And so one day it was going to be the start of a new camp. The kids were going to come in the afternoon and we'd get started again for another week. And so we gathered for staff meeting, as we always did on the first day of camp. It was late in the morning, and then we'd have lunch, and then we'd all go to our assigned duties and do our thing. And we gathered, and there was just a terrible smell sort of pervading over the campgrounds right near the dining hall, and we were having problems with the sewer system, and I actually gathered with the director. We actually went down into this hole where, you know, at the bottom there was this pump that pumped everything out to this other lagoon or field or whatever. But he said, let's have our staff meeting, and we'll have lunch, and then we'll take care of it. And so we had our staff meeting, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, everyone has a very important job on opening day except the program director, because, well, you know, kids are just coming. You're not running the whole program. The cabin leaders, well, they're meeting their kids and they're getting them settled and meeting the other kids in their cabin, and the director's welcoming all the parents who come on site and making sure everything's organized. Just a ton of things to do. The administrative people, it's, you know, I'm just thinking, well, I know that I am the logical person to have to do this. Really wasn't looking forward to the afternoon, wasn't really sure how to do it, but thought I'd be given some instruction. After lunch, the director came and he said to me, why don't you do my job today? You be the director and I'll go and take care of the sewer system and see if I can get that fixed. And I thought, you know, he's the director of the whole camp. And in some ways, there was a logic for him doing it because he lived on site and I was just there for the summer, and so he probably knew what to do, but it would have been the opportune time for him to dispose of an ugly job and give it off to me and tell me, you know, how I was supposed to do this. And he could have had his fun and, you know, been with meeting all the parents and do the important work. And he just really served me. That story has always been a reminder of, you know, here's a leader saying, you know, I'll just do the lowly, the worst job of the day, and let someone else do something important. And it was probably part of his mentoring approach of me, too, to get me into more leadership things. I think there's opportunities where we get to lift up other people. You know, someone said servanthood is helping others be successful and not caring who gets the credit. There's lots of ways that we can serve others. So that's service. But I want to talk a little bit about spiritual cleansing as well, because I think maybe that's even harder for us to do. But I want to read verses 12 to 17 again, this time from the Message. Then Jesus said, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do." I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life. Jesus served his disciples by washing their feet. Jesus loved his disciples through spiritual cleansing. So how do we serve one another? Now, Jesus talked of this ministry to those who are already clean. Already clean in the sense that they'd had their bath. They're believers, yet they get their spiritual feet dirty. Sometimes we notice a brother or sister who's struggling with an area of temptation. Washing their feet may involve coming alongside, offering support, and sometimes correction. Now, I think we might find corrective cleansing more difficult than other acts of humble service. I don't find it easy. It's not always welcome. Yet this is what love does. In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, it says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." It says if someone is caught in a sin. You know, so they've not rejected Jesus, but there's an area of struggle. It can be gossip. It can be unforgiveness. It can be bitterness. It can be you just quit having time alone with God. It can be a lot of things that they're struggling with. It says, restore that person gently. Help them. Offer care and cleansing. If you see a Christian sister or brother who's spiritually defeated, losing a battle with a particular sin, come alongside and support them. Now, some of you are probably saying, "Just give me the towel and basin. I'll wash physical feet. Just don't expect me to go around correcting others." Well, let me say a couple things that spiritual foot washing, I believe, is not. A, it's not looking for people to correct. You know, if correction is something you relish, it's just, "Hey, who can I correct today?" Well, you're probably not the person to do that. You're probably not the right person for the job. It's meant to be hard. It's not something we want to do. We care about relationships. We want to make sure that we're good with other people, and sometimes coming alongside people, it's just hard, and we're worried about those things. But I think it's those who find it hard who are actually the right people for the job. Second, it's not finding faults in others while ignoring your own. Jesus talked about removing the log from your own eye before you help remove the splinter from someone else's eye. And so I think we need to always look inward, not just outward. And a third thing, it's not pointing out every sin. I think most of us, we recognize our sins. Oh, I know where I blew it today. Well, we confess, we ask forgiveness, we move on. We take care of a lot of things ourselves. Galatians 6 talks about caught in a sin. So I'm kind of glad you don't correct me for everything that I do wrong. You know, if I get angry, you might just say, well, I think Lauren had a bad day today. But if it becomes a repeating pattern or it starts to impact our relationship or you see that he's got anger issues, then love me enough to come alongside and help me. So those are some things we don't do. Let's consider how we may positively come alongside others. First, I'd say, listen to the Holy Spirit. When we genuinely care for others and their walk with God, the Lord may put them on our heart, on your heart. And God will burden you for them so that they may be in right relationship with God and others because something is impacting, it's blocking that. Sometimes the Spirit asks us to wait. It's not time. You know, he does the convicting and restoring, and he actually does a very wonderful job of it. It's not always up to you and me to make sure everyone is back on track. But other times it is. We have the scripture. There is a time. They're caught in sin. And they're defeated, and they're not experiencing what they should in their relationship with God. I'd just say, like, let's not make, you know, just because we fear going to someone, that's not necessarily what the Spirit is saying. Sometimes, in spite of how hard it is, that's what the Spirit is saying. So we need discernment in that. But listen to the Holy Spirit. Secondly, I would say, restore out of relationship. Spiritual foot washing works best when it's done in the context of community. When we have good relationships with people, then we may speak into their lives. So being in a small group, sharing regularly together, may give an occasion to offer a word of warning, of restoration, of care, of support. I think if you hardly ever say hi to a person, then all of a sudden come and say, hey, you need to get right. Yeah, it doesn't always work so well. But when people know that you care, then they know that they're genuinely interested in helping you live a victorious Christian life. And third, be humble and caring. David Augsburger wrote a book, Caring Enough to Confront. We wash feet because we care. And if it's physically, then it's because we care about their physical needs. But if it's spiritual, then it's because we really love them and want them to be all right. Jesus washed Peter's feet, I think, spiritually as well as physically. In chapter 13, it was physical, but in chapter 21, Jesus came alongside and he restored Peter. Peter had, before the crucifixion, he had denied Jesus three times. But after the resurrection, Jesus came by the sea where they were, and he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And he asked him that three times. Almost to the point where Peter was a bit exasperated again, but I think he got the message. Jesus is welcoming me back into full restoration. And sometimes we need to do that for people in various ways. Philip Yancey, he wrote a book, In the Likeness of God, with Dr. Paul Brand. Yancey says, "Most impressive to me, the wisest and most brilliant man I have ever met devoted much of his time to some of the lowest people on the planet. Members of the untouchable caste in India afflicted with leprosy." And Yancey describes Brand as this person of genuine humility, this doctor who was just brilliant. But he just served people. When Yancey started as a writer, he felt wounded by the church and plagued by doubts. He talks, if you ever read some of his writings, it's coming from this legalistic background, all these rules and seemingly unfair things. He says he had neither the maturity nor the ability to express much of his own faith. But he says he could write with an utter integrity of Dr. Brand's faith. Yancey says, as a journalist, I gave words to his faith. In exchange, he gave faith to my words. And the relationship which developed between Yancey and Brand reflects the lesson, I believe, of John 13. Brand, a doctor who made remarkable contributions to medicine, noted for his brilliance around the world, spent much of his life in impoverished conditions, helping those most rejected by society. He touched many lives physically and also spiritually. And through his practice of humble service, he became a mentor to Philip Yancey. He really washed Yancey's spiritual feet, not so much through correction as through gently sharing with him the life of faith. And through that relationship, Yancey became a great Christian writer, touching many, many lives for Christ with his books. Jesus comes to wash your feet. He calls you to follow his example, to wash the feet of others. So may God guide you both in receiving from him and then in humbly serving one another, physically and spiritually.